Good morning. The order of service this morning is the order of mountains, beginning on page 32. Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Worship the Lord. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble.
I will rescue him and honor him.
With long life, I will satisfy him.
And show him my salvation.
Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place.
The Most High, who is my refuge.
No evil shall be allowed to befall you.
No plague shall come near your tent.
For he will command his angels concerning you
to guard you and all your ways.
On their hands, they will bear you up,
lest you strike your foot against a stone.
You will tread on the lion and the adder.
The young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son,
and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning,
is now, and will be forever. Amen.
When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble.
I will rescue him and honor him.
With long life, I will satisfy him.
And show him my salvation.
Please be seated for the reading of God's word.
Our Old Testament reading is found written in Genesis chapter 22. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." He said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went forth, they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father, "Abraham, my father." And he said, "Here am I, my son." He said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." So they went, both of them, together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar, on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand, and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by his thorns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide." And it is said to this day, "On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand of the seashore, and your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice."
Thanks be to thee, O Lord.
The epistle reading is found written in James chapter 1. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures.
But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us.
gospel is found written in the gospel according to St. Mark. Please rise for the reading of the gospel. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens opening and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel."
Thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Please be seated as we invite forward our children for the children's message. Good morning. How's everyone doing?
Good.
Good to see you all. So I have a question for you. Has anything bad ever happened to you? You want to stand here? You can stand here with me. If you want to stand here with me, you can. I won't bite. I promise. Some people think I bite, but I don't. Okay. Let me talk. Okay. Let me talk. So has anything bad ever happened to any of you? Yeah. Bad things do happen. How about this? Here's a family that lost their house because the house is on fire. Yeah. How about this? Here's a family that was involved in a car accident. Yeah, a car accident. Maybe you've been in a car accident before. It happens. It certainly happens. But here's the thing about it. When things like this happen, people want to blame God. They say, "God did this because he's angry at me." Is that true? Is God really angry at us? And does God cause house fires and car accidents?
No.
God doesn't do that. James tells us that very clearly, that God does not tempt us. He does not tempt us to sin. He does not tempt us to challenge or to blame him. Now, today we hear about Abraham, who had a son, a son of promise, by the way. His name was Isaac. And what did God tell Abraham to do? His only son. He told him to take your son, your only son Isaac, and to sacrifice him. You know what that means? What happens if you sacrifice someone?
Something bad will happen.
Like Isaac was to die. God is telling Abraham, take your son to the top of the mountain, and there you will sacrifice him. You will kill him with a knife. And then you will burn his body. That's what he's saying that you are to do. It sounds like God is tempting Abraham. Was that what God is doing? Is he tempting Abraham? No. He's actually doing something that's very valuable, even for all of you. We must know that bad things happen to us because we are sinners. And God allows these things to happen to us so that we will trust him, so that we'll turn our focus away from things that have happened to us to God himself, who will protect and guard and guide us. So these things happen to us because we are being tested. God tests our faith. He wants us to follow him, to trust him. But sometimes people don't do that, do they? They actually blame God for all of their problems, when all of their problems can actually have one person to blame. And who's the person to blame? Me, myself, and I have created these problems. The house fire may have started because of someone smoking in bed. Is that God's fault? Nope. The car accident happened because someone wasn't paying attention and they weren't driving their car the right way. Is that God's fault? No. Everything that happens to us in our life, we can actually point the finger at ourselves. And so we suffer in this life because of things that occur to us because of our own fault. But God says, don't blame me, but I want you to trust me. I will bring the suffering into your life so that you will turn your face away from the things that are of this world and turn your face to me and follow me. Because ultimately, when we obey God and follow God, what's the result? What will God do for us? He will bring us into his kingdom. God is working always in our life to test our faith, to make us stronger in our faith, so that when he comes on the last day, he will look at each of you and he will say, you are my dear child. You had faith in me. Even though you had all of these problems, you still believed in me. And because you believe in me, I give to you as a free gift eternal life in heaven. Let's fold our hands and close our eyes and let us pray to the Lord. Lord, we know that in this life we will have many, many problems. And sometimes, Lord, it seems that these problems are just overwhelming. Yet, Lord, help us not to blame you. For we know, Lord, that you do bring suffering into our life. Yet these sufferings, O Lord, you use these sufferings, O Lord, to show us and to test us and to strengthen our faith so that we will follow you. And as we follow you, Jesus, we will follow you right into heaven. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being our Lord and our Savior. And all the children said, Amen. Now remember, we walk back to our seats. And my dear brothers and sisters, this being the first Sunday of Lent, we always sing the great Lutheran hymn, A Mighty Fortress, and we always stand for this hymn. Please rise.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is the gospel lesson, as you have heard read from Mark chapter 1. And the theme this morning, repent and believe in Jesus, the victor. Please be seated. My dear brother and sister in Christ Jesus, Christmas is a joyful time, and the world is willing to join in the celebration with us. The birth of the Christ child to a humble family seems to the world worth celebrating, yet it's only for one day. You should also be aware that the world has been trying to change Christmas for a very, very long time, and with some success. Easter is another joyful season in the church, and the world is also willing to join to celebrate with us, our Lord Jesus, to a point. Although they rather talk about spring, about resurrection of flowers and plants and trees, what they really want to talk about is less of Jesus and more about painted eggs and bunnies. Yet if you dare to mention to them the empty tomb or Jesus on the cross or Jesus risen from the dead, the world quickly closes its ears and begins to spew out all kinds of unreasonable and laughable explanations about why the tomb is still empty, or about how our Lord's resurrection can't be true, or how he really didn't die on the cross. All lies, always lies, and every year they have the same thing, only they tweak it just a little bit. And when you tweak a lie, it's still a lie. Now we have entered into the season of Lent. Lent is a somber, yet it's also a very beautiful season. The world, unlike Christmas and Easter, flatly refuses to remember, to worship, to repent. They do not like Lent. Now, they may talk a little bit about ashes on the forehead, but you know they rather talk about Mardi Gras or about the ugly hedonism that is associated with it. Anything but other than ashes and repentance and going to the cross with Jesus. The world, faithless people, by the way, refuse to join in this 40 days of solemn reflection. They see no reason to repent. On Ash Wednesday, the message for you and for me was that we must heed Joel's warning. That we must hear what Joel had to write for us, that we are to repent and return to the Lord with all our heart. Yet the world, and sadly too many Christians, they don't see a need to reconcile with God. They respond with words that are also a lie. That's not necessary. I don't need to repent. I've never done anything wrong. That's okay, thank you anyway. When confronted with the need to be reconciled to God, to repent, to come before him with a broken and contrite heart, they refuse. You hear things like, well, I have never done this or this or that. I'm not as bad as my neighbor. I'm actually a pretty good lady. I'm actually a pretty good guy. Remember, a lie is always a lie. Clearly, the world doesn't think much of Lent. Yet, dear one, the more important question is this: what do you think of Lent? And even the larger question than that, have you considered, have you pondered, truly pondered in your heart, your need for repentance and your need to be reconciled to God? If we join in with the world, And we say we have no need of repentance, and we do not need to be reconciled with God, then there is no need for Lent. Yet at the same time, you also have no need for Christmas, and you have no need for Easter. You can't have two and not the other. They all go together. If you really think that you have no need to ever repent, to be reconciled with God, then the point is clear. You don't need Jesus. That's what you're saying, even though you're not actually saying it. Yet your conscience convicts you that you do need Jesus, that you do need to repent, that you must be reconciled with God. Oh, you can lie to me, you can lie to your neighbor, you can lie to your friends, but you cannot lie to God. He will convict you every single time. Yes, you can resist. You can certainly resist. But one day, God will catch up with you. St. Mark's gospel reading this morning, it would have no meaning to anyone if we deceive ourselves, actually lie to ourselves, and say that we are not sinners, that we have no need for a Savior. Every step that Jesus took, think about it, dear one, every step that Jesus took from Nazareth to Jerusalem, into the Jordan and out of the Jordan River, from town and town and village, from the scourging post to the cross, was taken for you because he knows that you need him, that you need a Savior, that you must be saved from sin, from eternal death, and from the power of the devil. Today we hear a very fast mention of Jesus' temptation from the Gospel of Mark, and that's what Mark does. He's very immediate. He's very fast. Mark clicks things off and moves to the next subject. Yet even today we hear of Jesus' temptation, of him being thrown into the wilderness and there for 40 days and 40 nights being tempted by the devil. And every one of those temptations by Satan, of which he enticed Jesus, was designed to prevent you from being reconciled to your Heavenly Father. Each temptation that Jesus resisted, each time he said, "It is written," and each time that he said, "Get behind me, Satan," and his refusal to come off the cross was a gift of our Lord to each of you. The gift of his righteousness, so that your life would be and is redeemed. Jesus came proclaiming the good news. The good news, the gospel, was that the time had come, that the time is now at hand. Jesus is present, and he's going to fulfill the promise that God had made to Adam and Eve, that he would send a Savior, that he would send a sacrificial lamb. His name is Jesus. And this lamb would go to the cross and sacrifice himself for the sins of the world, for your sin, and thank God for my sin. And we get a picture of this in our Old Testament lesson this morning. Abraham's only son, his only son, the son of promise, the son of whom the Messiah would descend. Abraham was told by God to take him to Mount Moriah, and there you're to sacrifice him. You're to sacrifice him so that Isaac could ultimately be redeemed. That's what Abraham thought. This gift has been given to us also. The only Son, the Son of God, the only begotten one, was sent to the world. He was the Son of promise and is the Son of promise. But what did God do? He sacrificed him. This time he didn't substitute Jesus, because Jesus is the substitute. He is the substitute for your sin and my sin and the sins of the world. Jesus is the Lamb. Jesus is the ram that was sacrificed. Jesus laid down his life so that you and I can live. Yes, I know. I've been there and done that also. We walk out into this world and we are searching for things. We are searching for answers. We are searching for things to do, searching for things to buy, searching for things to use, and so sadly, searching for things to abuse. You see, life for some is all about me, myself, and I. But think about it. Jesus walked about on this earth doing the things that pleased his heavenly Father. Those things that Jesus did were the things that needed to be done to save you and me from sin, death, and the power of the evil one. And now, since Jesus has done this great work, Satan knows that he is lost. And everyone who follows the evil one, everyone who says that Satan is greater than God, they are following a loser. Why would you want to follow a loser? You know what's going to happen eventually. So therefore, Satan has to change his tactics. And so therefore, he comes to you, and he tempts you, and he tempts me. And when we give in to those temptations, we also become an agent of Satan because he uses us to tempt others. Now, I honestly don't believe that any one of you have ever planned or robbed a bank, that you ever planned or even stolen a car. And I don't believe that any of you have ever murdered someone that you hated. Yet, you hear this juicy gossip. You know it's probably not true, but you repeat it anyway, and you do it with great joy. You push someone, and you egg them, and you prod them, and you prod them, so that ultimately they lose their temper, and then you ridicule them. Oh, you wish in your heart that that person that you truly hate, oh, you wish they were dead. Each one of these are equally sinful. Yes, sins of omission are just as bad and still sins as sins of commission. Remember, Jesus tells us that all evil resides in the heart. And even when we think it, we are sinning against the commandments. We are sinning against our Lord. Jesus resisted every temptation. Every single one he resisted because of his love for his Father, and he did it for your sake. He did not provoke others to sin. That's good news for you. Good news that Jesus is truly the spotless Lamb of God, the sinless one who sacrificed himself. Sin, death, and devil. The devil is now defeated. He's a loser. All sin has been paid for by Jesus here at the cross. One last enemy to defeat, and that last enemy is death. Jesus, after dying on the cross, was placed into a tomb, and he rose on the third day, defeating death forever, defeating death for you and for me. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, death, where is your victory? The victory over the grave goes to Jesus. He is the first fruits of the dead. And because he lives, so also you will live. As long as you pick up your cross, deny yourself, and follow him. So, my brother and sister, our Lenten journey now begins. And you will be hearing over and over and over again, yes, I hope you get sick of it, and I hope you do get sick of it, that it will even drive you to your knees to repent of your sin. For you are going to be hearing all through Lent the necessity to repent and to believe in the gospel, to repent and to return to God. On this first Sunday of Lent, we hear of the beginning of our Lord's ministry, his public ministry, when the Father announced that his Son, he announced his Son to the whole world, and then the Spirit immediately drove him into the desert, and there he was tempted by the devil. Jesus defeated Satan. He did this for you and for me. And after he returned from the wilderness, Jesus called his disciples. And what did he say to them? Follow me. He said to the 12, follow me. He says to Zion Shum, follow me. Thus the faithful follow Jesus. And they follow him even in the days ahead. Oh yes, we will suffer in this life. We will certainly suffer, just as our Lord suffered even a greater suffering. We will suffer it because of his name. But we know that this suffering will build in us endurance, and that endurance builds in us strength, and that strength gives us hope. And the hope we have is that we will walk with Jesus this Lenten season all the way to the foot of the cross. Thanks be to God that Jesus went to the cross to die for your sins, to defeat death, and to conquer the evil one. Dear one, Jesus is the victor. Repent and believe in Jesus. Believe in your victor, the one who has given you the victory. And in that victory, he's announcing to you today that all your sin, each and every one of your sins, is forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to Jesus. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the offering. Rise for our canonical hymn, which is hymn 147.
Let us pray.
Heavenly Father, as we enter this Lenten season of repentance and continued devotion, we pray that you would remember us according to your steadfast love and goodness in Christ Jesus, your beloved Son and our Savior. Instruct and lead us by your Holy Spirit in your ways, so that we may repent and believe the gospel. Lord God, you placed the wood of the cross on the back of your only begotten Son, that as the promised offspring of Abraham, he might possess the gates of hell. Bless, we pray, his church and all those called to preach and teach within her, with the certainty that those gates cannot prevail against them, that in faith they may boldly trample every power of the enemy underfoot. Almighty God, preserve all catechumens and their teachers, all children and their parents, and every Christian home from the assaults of the devil. As your Son overcame Satan in the desert by the word of God, so also give us the victory through Christ Jesus and his word. Father of lights, from whom every good and perfect gift comes down to us from above, keep us from every enticement of using our own desires to misuse your gifts in sin, and help us to use them rightly in service to you, and to always, O Lord, bless our neighbor. Bless Matthew, our Senate President, Kevin, our District President, and all pastors, as they proclaim the Lord's word that we are to repent and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. Most High God, our refuge in every trouble, you have promised to hear when we call to you. We pray that you would command your angels to guard our brothers and sisters, especially Esther Swire, Jim McCullough, Joyce Lechner, Michelle Hill, Aubrey Art, Sean Mendez, Austin Art, Thomas Etzler, Leah Spangler, the Reverend David and Barbara Bush, Barbara Wolfert, Ryan Fiesel, Charlotte Davis, Maya Kalla, Wanda Schweier, Waylon Steiner, Janice Patterson, Kenny Miller, Patricia Lee, Jeff Secor, and Nikki Strait. Merciful Lord, comfort those who are presently suffering in our midst. Keep them from every evil that can befall the body, mind, and soul. Lord God, bless the members of this congregation and their families. Guard and protect all women who are with child. Continue to strengthen them and give unto them your strength. Bless all fathers of this congregation, that they may rightly lead their families as you, Lord Jesus, are their lasting example. Lord God, we remember with thanksgiving those before us who have brought forth by the word of truth, who now live and reign in your presence with your Son, as you have also brought us forth by that word in holy baptism. We pray that you would bring us to full maturity by your word, that we too may be gathered with them to your Son on the glorious harvest of the last day. All these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Father, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, who has safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us in the same with thy mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings being ordered by thy governance may be righteous in thy sight. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in a Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Bless we the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all.
Please be seated.
Yes, we now begin the season of Lit, and as a reminder, our midweek service is every Wednesday, 7:30 at St. Thomas, and I've already gave you a hint of what the theme is, that we are to return to the Lord. And that's the theme of the whole Lent and midweek, is to return to the Lord. That's what this season is really about, repentance, reconciliation, returning to the Lord. And yes, it sounds like it may become repetitive, and that's for a purpose. It's to be repetitive, to remind us the importance of repentance and reconciliation. You see all the announcements in the bulletin. I don't think I need to reiterate those. And all the calendar, of course, we've already touched on Lent Midweek 1. For those of you who may be interested in the convention vote, the convention, the congregations, I should say, of the Synod voted to move the convention to 2023. It was an overwhelming vote, 90% to whatever else was left over. So 90% of the congregations that did vote, and 63% of the congregations did vote. So our synodical convention will be moved to 2023, and I'm sure it hasn't happened yet, but it will. Our district convention will move to 2022. As far as I know, Don, LWML is still the same. It's not going to change, but it could, So we'll have to be cognizant of that. So with that, God's grace to you all. Remember the importance of Lent. Repent, be reconciled to your Lord, and then come and follow him. God's grace to you all.